Everyone, a warm welcome tonight. Thanks for coming. We'll pray before we open the Word of God together. Father, we quiet ourselves again tonight in Thy presence, and we give thanks for the day of grace, that the door of mercy is still open, and that the invitation to come is still able to be proclaimed worldwide. And our Father, we would pray for the gospel wherever it goes forth, but our thoughts and our heart is in this meeting tonight. And our Father, we would pray that there would be a special visitation of God tonight, that we would hear Thy voice, that we would be spoken to each and every one, and that as we walk out of this building, each and every one of us will be able to honestly say that God has spoken to my soul. Our Father, some in this audience will need to be awakened to their need. They'll need to understand their guilt and their sin before God, and we realize that God can only do this. And some will need to understand that they're only a short time to be saved. For behold, now is the accepted time, and now is the day of salvation. And our Father, every single one of us needs to see Calvary tonight. And we pray that we might see what was done there was enough to satisfy God, and therefore it's enough to satisfy me. And so we look to Thee tonight for this meeting, asking for help and for wisdom in all of our weakness, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We're going to read in the book of Galatians to start tonight. Galatians in chapter 3. Galatians in chapter 3. I'm going to read a verse here and we'll explain it when we get done with our readings. Galatians chapter 3, verse 24. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith, or declared reckoned righteous by faith. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith has come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. To Matthew, please, chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 25. Agree with thine adversary quickly whilst thou art in the way with him, lest at any time the adversary deliver thee to the judge, and the judge deliver thee to the officer, and thou be cast into prison. And verily I say unto thee, thou shalt by no means come out thence till thou hast paid the uttermost farthing. Agree with thine adversary quickly. And finally, the Gospel of John, chapter 19. John 19. We're going to read together verse number 30. John 19, verse 30. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, "It is finished," and he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. And the Lord will bless to us the reading of his precious word. Very simply tonight, I would like to look at agreement. Agreement. We read in Galatians of a schoolmaster, and I'd like to consider the schoolmaster and to agree with the schoolmaster quietly. And you'll remember, as if we would read in Romans chapter 3 about the law, that the law was given that every mouth might be stopped and all the world become guilty before God. And so the law, we're going to see, really shuts our mouth. And we're going to agree with it quietly. Matthew chapter 5, it says, agree with your adversary quickly while thou art in the way with him. An adversary, one that is opposed to us, one that we are against, that we are enemies of. And he says, agree with him quickly. And then finally, we're in John chapter 19, we're going to look at the Lord Jesus Christ when he said, "It is finished." And I'd like you to consider that, to agree with thy Savior confidently. Confidently. It is finished. We can be confident that what he has done has been accepted by God. We can be confident and we can agree with what he says there. So we've got the schoolmaster, the schoolteacher. We've got the adversary. And we've got the Savior. Galatians chapter 3, it says, the law was our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. The law, God used the law to teach men. It was meant to teach men in the Old Testament. And they said, all that the Lord said we will do. And what God's desire from the law was this, that men would understand their guilt, that understand their sin, and that they couldn't take away their sin. They couldn't live good enough to satisfy God. And so the law was our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. The law was given that every mouth might be stopped and all the world become guilty before God. I wonder, have we learned the lesson? Have we learned the lesson? As I look over the audience tonight, I don't believe that anyone here is trying to keep the law to get to heaven. We've understood that that isn't the way a person is justified. No flesh is justified by keeping the law. So it isn't a matter of us keeping the Ten Commandments that will take away our sin. It is not a matter of keeping the law that will bring us into favor with God. God expects us to live righteously, but we can't. That's God's standard. It's His standard. So if someone is going to keep the law to be in God's heaven, they'll have to live an absolutely sinless life. And we know after about 3 seconds that that's not possible. Not possible. So the law was our schoolmaster. God is showing us over and over that there's nothing in ourself that we can do, nothing in ourself that we can bring, nothing in ourself that can satisfy God, nothing in ourself that is nothing less than a filthy rag. You say, now that's an interesting statement. All our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. Consider that for a moment. Here we are, sinners in the sight of God, and the good things that we do, God sees them. God notices them. God takes note of them, and He says this, they're like filthy rags. Filthy rags. Compared to God's clean and pure and holy standard, the works of men, the righteousness of men, is just filthy rags. That's insulting to many. They would say, man, you'd mean to tell me I've lived my whole life doing the best that I can do, and it's nothing but an infection-filled rag in the eyes of God. That's what God says. You say, that can't be right. I've done the best that I can do. I've tried my hardest at life. I've tried my hardest to keep God's standard. I know I've failed, but I've done better than most. Friend, it's still not enough. It's not enough. It's just like a filthy rag. You could think of it as an infection-filled rag. You could picture it as a mud or a slime-filled rag. Can you imagine looking at the finished work of Christ and trying to add to that finished work a muddy, slimy, dirty rag? God will never accept that. It's not our works and our goods plus Christ. For what we seek to add to Christ, We only take away from God's perfect work. We mar it. We ruin it. Because God's work through Christ is perfect. And we add our 2 cents. We add our good works. We add our trying and our believing to it. No, it's Christ alone. Salvation is through Him. We're going to get to that. I better be careful. I'll get ahead of myself. So it is agree with the schoolmaster quietly. Agree. You see, you've learned throughout life, even you younger ones, that when you're in school and the teacher is teaching, there's only one way to get along with the teacher smoothly. How is that? It's to listen to her or him. It's to agree with them, right? And so you're learning math there in school, and they're teaching you what 2 plus 2 is, and there the numbers are, and they don't lie, but you keep saying 2 plus 2 is 5. What has to change? Is the school teacher supposed to change the facts so that you're right? That's not going to happen. The facts are the facts. And it's the same with the Word of God. God isn't going to change the facts of what we are to make us right. We need to agree with the school teacher. We need to agree with them. So if two people are at odds, and two people have conflicting ideas, only one is right, the other is wrong. How then does the one that is right, or the one that is wrong, become right? Now that's a confusing little spiel there. So if you're wrong, how do you become right? You agree with the one that is right. Now you say that's pretty simple. It is pretty simple. But if you think you can keep the law for your righteousness, agree with the one that is right. The law is just a teacher to bring us to Christ. A teacher to show us the facts. A teacher to show us our sin. To show us the judgment for sin. To show us the holiness of God. To show us the standard of God. For the purpose to bring us to Christ. To give us the facts that we've all sinned and come short to the glory of God. Now, we'll never be saved until we agree with the schoolmaster that I am a sinner that needs to be saved. That I am a guilty sinner that can do nothing to satisfy God, to take away the consequences of my sin, or to take away one sin in and of itself. So agree quietly. Quietly. Sometimes you run into people and they agree with you and then they say, but. There's no agreement there at all. They're just saying that they agree so that they can have one more chance to give their opinion. God says no. Listen to what He says in His book and agree with Him and do it quietly. Because God is right. If there's any discrepancy in our thinking, it's not because God is wrong. God is always right. And how can a man be right with God? Not until they agree with God, what He says about them, and then what He says about the Lord Jesus Christ. So agree quietly. You've got the idea of stop arguing. In Matthew 5, you've got the adversary. Agree with your adversary quickly while thou art in the way with him. In other words, while you're face to face with him. I was thinking of this a little today. If I had an enemy, and perhaps I do, I don't know if I do, but if I did and I knew it, and he was stronger than me, and he was going to defeat me, and when the time come that we met, I was going to lose, what would be the best thing to do? Do you ever think about it? Some of us would say, fight till you got no more. Some of us would say, fight, fight, fight. Fight for all you're worth. Well, this is an interesting verse. It says, agree. Agree. Agree with your adversary quickly. And so if the adversary says, listen, you continue on the path that you're on, you're going to be destroyed. You're going to lose. Do you know that's what God tells a sinner tonight? Continue on your path of sin. Continue in your lifestyle of sin. Continue in your lifestyle of procrastination. Continue in your thoughts of pleasure over salvation. God says this, the soul that sins, it will die. Go to Romans, you'll find something very interesting. It says that we're enemies of God. We're at enmity with God. My dear friend, can I make the application tonight? Agree with God quickly. Agree with Him quickly. While you are in the way with Him, agree with Him. Yes, God, I'm going to lose. Yes, God, I'm going to be in hell for my sin. Yes, God, You're right. I surrender. I surrender. Now that word isn't in many people's vocabulary. Never give up. Never surrender. But my dear friend, tonight when God takes up dealings with you, the best thing you can do is agree with Him. Surrender. Surrender. Long a rebel, O my Savior, I have wandered far from Thee. The chorus goes, I surrender. I surrender. Agree with Him quickly. What does it say? We will lose. We'll lose in life. We'll lose in death. We'll lose in eternity. We're enemies with God. What about the thief on the cross? What happened to him? He agreed with his adversary, didn't he? He was an enemy of the Lord Jesus Christ. Nailed upon a cross beside the Lord Jesus. And there he is, a true enemy. A reviler, a blasphemer, a hater, a rejecter of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's recorded in the divine scriptures that the man railed upon the Lord Jesus with his own lips, nailed upon the cross. And the fear of God comes upon the man as he understands this, that he's going to go out and he's going to die that day, and he's going to meet God that day, and he's going to be in eternity that day. And he says this, we receive the due reward of our deeds. What did he do? He agreed. He not only agreed with the Roman government that was putting him to death because of his crimes, he agreed with God that he was getting what he deserved. Friend tonight, do you know what your sin deserves? Same as my sin. Same as everyone else's sin. And that thief, he agreed with God that day. Took a scare with death, didn't it? Took him certain death to wake him up. And there he realizes he's going to meet God, and there he realizes he's going into eternity, and there he realizes something else, that he's going to be in hell. You say, where does it say he's going to be in hell? He said, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. In other words, yes, I'm not going to be there. And there's only two places. And in a short amount of time, the man repented. And he agreed with the adversary that I'm only getting what I deserve. Eternal punishment for my sin. The wrath of man for my sin that I've done to mankind. The wrath of God for my sin that I've done against God. And that's all that I deserve. And he agreed with the adversary quickly. The man was saved that day. Would have been a marvelous thing to see the change in that man. I think about him all the time. I think if there was one place, there's a lot of places I'd like to have been in the Bible. Be a mouse in the corner. But I think for multiple reasons, Calvary would be the place to be. Oh, we'd see marvelous things like this thief, but we would see the lovely man and the cries that he made from the cross. We would see the reaction of the people as they would have dealt with their hatred toward him. We would have saw the Jews and all their heart revealed there as they cried for him to be crucified, the one that only did good, the one that only did miracles, and how they rejected him flat out. His claims of being the Messiah and his words and his works and his miracles and his life proved it over and over and over. We come to the cross here in John 19. And he says this, it is finished. And we're thinking about agreeing with the Savior confidently. Confidently. There's been multitudes of people, there's a few in this room tonight that have been saved through that verse. It is finished. And they didn't even realize it, but when that verse came to their mind, they simply agreed with that Scripture said. And it was absolutely obvious to them. And it was confidence to them that when Christ said it is finished, that he was absolutely true. That he was absolutely right. And all that was needed to save the soul was accomplished at Calvary. And for over 2,000 years, all that has been needed for the salvation of every soul has already been accomplished. It has already been finished at Calvary. And it is finished. And there's been thousands of souls throughout the sands of time that have been saved on those three words, it is finished. By simply agreeing with the Savior. And I said to agree with thy Savior. And for those of us that are saved, certainly we can see that plain as day. And my friend, the Lord Jesus Christ is the only Savior. And if you're ever going to be saved, he's going to be your Savior. And you're going to agree with him. I'd like to look at these three words and their simplicity. They're remarkable, really. That all eternity can be based on, can be rested on these three words. It is finished. The soul's entire eternity, their eternal destiny, their forever, can be settled on these three words. It is finished. Remarkable in their simplicity. Conclusive. They leave us nothing to wonder. They leave us nothing to doubt. They leave us nothing to ponder. When we take the Lord Jesus Christ at his word, when we understand in full agreement that it is finished, there is nothing left to worry about. There is nothing left to wonder about. There is absolutely nothing left to doubt. Is it finished? Or is it not? Tonight, is it finished? Or is it not? And how do you know? How do you know? Oh, because the preacher preached on it. No, that's not how you know. You know because Christ said it himself. You know because it's in the holy word of God, never to be destroyed, never to be eliminated. They're remarkable in that they bring conclusion to the whole matter of all the confusion in the mind of the sinner. God can use these words to open the eyes and the understanding of every single sinner. It is finished. Finished. It's concluded. It's done. It's done. I agree with that tonight. 100%. 100%. There's not a speck in my whole entire body, in my mind or in my soul that doubts these words. It is finished. It is finished. I agree with him. Who am I to argue with him? Who am I to say, no, Lord, they're not finished? Agree with thy Savior quickly. These words bring conclusion. They're remarkable in their simplicity. They bring closure to all of the struggling and all of the strife and all of the agony of soul trouble. It is finished. It is finished. All the suffering at Calvary was finished. The Scriptures were all fulfilled. And you realize if there would have been a Scripture that would have been fulfilled, there would have been a crack in the Word of God. There would have been a fault that could be found. But there is no fault to be found because every Scripture was fulfilled. Every prophecy was completed concerning the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. We know there's prophecy that's going to be fulfilled in the future. But everything concerning Him, His suffering, His life, His work on the cross has been recorded. It has been fulfilled. Fulfilled. The Scriptures were fulfilled. The suffering was finished. The work that God had given him to do, the whole purpose for him coming, was absolutely completed. And he said, it is finished. Now I wonder tonight, can we agree with the Savior? These words are very simply a rebuke to the self-righteous. They're remarkable in their simplicity. They're a rebuke for those who are trusting in themselves. So how's that? A person cannot be resting alone on the work of Christ and trusting in their own works at the same time. A person cannot be resting in their church to get them to heaven and also be resting on the blood of the Lord Jesus at the same time. These words are a death blow to self-righteousness. Because if it took us to add one thing, then it wasn't finished. That's simple enough, isn't it? If we had to add one thing to the work of Christ, it is finished would be a lie. It would be a hoax. It would be a fraud. But it is finished. It is finished. Then what is it for the sinner to do? What is it then that those that are wanting to be saved, what is left? It's simply to agree with the Savior and rest in His Word. Depend on what He has said. Rely on Him. It is finished. It's a rebuke to everything that we could ever do, everything that we could ever add. It's a death blow to self-righteousness. It's a death blow to religion. And that is comforting to me tonight. Because if there was something to do, if there was something to add, how would you know what to add? How would you know how much to add? How would you know when it was enough? When could you ever rest? When could you ever have peace? You never would. Because there was always a chance you could have done better. And in fact, you should have done better. And he says it is finished. It is a death blow to self-righteousness. These words are a revelation to the sinner. Because they give life and peace. They give life and peace. Eternal life. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son hath not life. My friend, tonight, do you have Him? Is He yours? For if you have Him, you see, sometimes it's confusing on how to get Him. But when we receive His Word, we receive Him. He that heareth my word and believeth on Him that sent me hath everlasting life. And so a person receives the Lord Jesus Christ by receiving His Word. And these words are a revelation of life and peace. It is finished. Because He died, a sinner can be born again. Because He died, a sinner can have eternal life. Because he died, God's throne is satisfied. Because God is satisfied, the sinner can be satisfied. Now, are you satisfied tonight with Christ, or are you not? It's yes or no. If you're not satisfied with Christ, you're not saved. Because these words give life and they give peace. And when the soul is entirely rested upon His work and His person, upon His suffering, upon His death, upon His resurrection, when they have rested upon words such as these, now these aren't the only words that people are saved on, but these are simple. It is finished. It is finished. They're a revelation to the lost soul. And finally, they are a relief to the struggling. A relief. Have you ever had a task at hand that was maybe extremely dirty or extremely hard or extremely mind-bending? And you tackled that and you tackled that and you worked at that and you worked at that, and finally the day came and it was done. And he breathed that sigh of relief. And he said, I'm done with that. I'm glad I don't have to do that again. Agree with thy Savior quickly. Confidently, quietly. You'll notice I put all three of those to the Savior at the end. Agree quietly, stop arguing. Agree quickly, stop procrastinating. Agree confidently, stop trying. It is finished.
Luke's Gospel, please, chapter 19. Luke's Gospel 19. I want to read some very familiar scriptures tonight. Luke's Gospel, chapter 19. I won't read the passage, but I'll read what I want to talk about. The message tonight is the concept of time. We're going to talk about time. Look at verse 5. Luke 19. When Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. Somebody says, how do you know he's saved? Look at verse 8. Zacchaeus stood and said unto him, Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and so on. See verse 9. Jesus said unto him, this day is salvation come to this house. Chapter 12 now, please, of this same book. Luke chapter 12. Luke's Gospel, please. Chapter 12. Verse 20. At the end of the story of the rich farmer. But God said unto him, Fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. This night thy soul shall be required of thee. Chapter 13 now for a verse. Here's the fig tree in the vineyard, verse 8. He answering said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also, till I shall dig about it and dung it. If it bear fruit, well, and if not, then after that, thou shalt cut it down. See that verse number 8? Let it alone this year also. I have one more In the book of the Acts, chapter 24. Acts, please, chapter 24. Acts 24, verse 25. This is Paul with Felix. And as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled. The word is, he was terrified, and answered, "Go thy way for this time, when I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. Go thy way for this time, when I have a convenient season, I will call for thee." Now those are the readings tonight. The concept of time, that's what I want to talk about. See, this will add to what we've already heard. The first thing I want to point out to this audience is that it's a medical doctor that has talked and wrote about these four things. I hope you got them tonight. This day, this night, this year, this time. Those are all segments of time. I don't know if you go to the doctor or not, but we notice over the years that a doctor, one of his great things that he has to look at is time. He has very, very little time to move around. Each patient is limited in the time that they have. Interesting that it's a doctor that the Spirit of God uses to talk about time. It's likely the scarcest commodity in our world. I hear people all the time, and they're saying, "Sorry, no time. No time. Would you do this? No time. Would you do that? No time." Now I want to take that up tonight and show you, dear souls, some of these basic, simple, fundamental truths about time. First one we're going to talk about is this day. Now here's a man, he had a lot of riches, but he wasn't happy. Riches will never bring happiness to a soul. But he seemed to realize that there's one person that can bring me happiness, that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus of Nazareth. See, God, I take it, was dealing with a man. And he seemed to sense that this was his only opportunity of meeting the Lord Jesus Christ on the streets of Jericho that day. I wonder, friend, do we realize that this is your golden opportunity, this day, not tomorrow. Now, I won't go through the different points, but I want to get to the very thing here that I want to talk about. One of the greatest miracles in this story, there were hundreds of people around, and the Lord Jesus Christ stopped at the foot of that tree. And he said to the man, "Zacchaeus, make haste and come down and receive me. Today, this day, I am abiding at your house." I wonder, is there anyone here tonight, and the hymn writer has put it well, is there a heart that is waiting, longing for pardon today? Listen, Jesus is passing this way. I want to tell you, he doesn't pass every day, but he's passing this day for your benefit. Now watch. Zacchaeus wanted to see the Lord Jesus, but the Lord Jesus was more interested to see him than Zacchaeus. Now, we want to tell sinners tonight, anybody that's seeking salvation is fantastic, but the Lord is more interested to see you saved than you are to be saved. Now, watch. He looked up and he talked to that man on the branch of that sycamore tree. He says to him, make haste, come down, receive me. I asked a simple question. If he had stayed up that tree, do you think he'd have been saved? Now, the very act of him coming down the tree and meeting the Savior didn't save him. But it shows that he wanted salvation above everything else in this life. And he responded. Here's the two of them talking together at Zacchaeus' house. It says, he came down, he received him. What the Bible says, to as many as received him. Are you prepared to receive him tonight into your life? To them give he the authority, nobody else can, to become the children of God, even to them that believe in his name. Can you see those two talking? In an instant of time, the rich man received the Lord Jesus Christ. He understood he was the only one that could save him. Neither is there salvation in any other. There's no other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. Now, people ask me all the time, now, if I was saved tonight, how would I know? How would I know? Well, yeah, I emphasized in the reading, here's a young convert, and the first thing he said was, Lord, Lord, twice over. Now that's Romans 10 and 9. Listen to it. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. There's the word of God for it. And you can pass in an instant of time from death unto life by accepting in your heart of hearts, as our brother has told you, the work is finished. It is finished. Yes, indeed. Finished every jot. Sinner, this is all you need. Tell me, is it not? This day is salvation come to this house. See that segment of time? This day. Not yesterday, not tomorrow, this day. God help you right now, friend, to take the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior this day, right now. Why? Well, here's another segment of time. Here's a man, and I take it there was a certain man. He was a rich farmer. He had all that this world could offer. He wasn't happy. He wanted more. Now here's the bottom line. The Lord Jesus Christ said to him, fool. Why? To that point he had left Christ out of his life. Very successful. Had a business plan second to none. God said, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. This night, not last night, Not tomorrow night. This night. Dear man, he forgot all about God and everything associated with divine things. And he was a materialistic man. But God said, this is it. Time up. This night, thy soul shall be required of thee. You know what the Old Testament says? If thou save not thy soul tonight, tomorrow, thou shalt be slain. I had occasion today to read the latest information about that flight that went down in Ethiopia. And I was very interested in the captain. He had everything going for him, everything. One of the top men at 29 years of age. 6 minutes in the air. And the next second he was in eternity. Thou wouldst be saved. Why not tonight? Well, it goes on to say, tomorrow's sun may never rise to bless thy long deluded sight. Thou wouldst be saved. Why not tonight? My friend, it's coming to a crisis in your experience. I understood that myself 61 years ago. Nobody had to tell me, but I knew that if I missed salvation on that night that I was saved, that was it. I would never have another opportunity. Time is fast passing. Your soul is at stake. Eternity's ages, thy soul has to face in blackness of darkness. Or riches of grace. Like they'll ask you tonight, friend, are you in earnest tonight? Are you real about this? Do you really want your soul saved? This is the night for you. Now let me go further. I was reading this story today in chapter 13 of Luke. Here's a doctor again. And you see, it's not this day, and it's not this night, it's this year. We'll make the application to 2019. He's trying to impress on these people their privileges, their honor. They had every chance of taking Christ as Savior. And to get the point across, he tells this story. He says, now, there's a fig tree in a vineyard. It had every chance to bring forth fruit. The soil was right. The care of the vine dresser was right. The environment was right. It was sheltered. There was no rocks in the soil and all the rest of it. When on this occasion, the owner of the vineyard and of the tree came looking for fruit. Didn't get any. You see, let me make the simple application. The Lord Jesus Christ is looking at mission into your life tonight. And he's asking, may I come in? May I come in? You're interested in being saved tonight? Now here's what the story goes on to say. See, the dresser of the vineyard and of the tree, he's the one that's interested in it. He's looking after the care of it. Likely, picture of the Holy Spirit. And he's interceding with God, the owner of the tree in the vineyard. And he says, now listen, give this tree another chance. Give him this year. If it bear fruit, well. And so this story goes on to say that the vine dresser, he started to work with that tree. And he started to loosen the soil around it and fertilize it and wait to see if there would be fruit on that tree. You see, friend, God has been looking for a long time for fruit in your life. And you haven't taken Christ as Savior yet. But he's given you another chance. This year, 2019. What know I of the coming year? Or what it'll bring to me? Whether its close will find me here or in eternity. God has given you, friend, a special opportunity this year, 2019. You see, the gospel is not preached every night in one location, 365 nights or days in the year. But this is a special time for this very town, this village and area of Ontario. I'm telling you, I believe it more than ever. There are people on this occasion have got an opportunity of being saved, bringing fruit to God in their life. But to this point, there's no response. Dear people, you've had every chance. If you heard the dear man praying for you downstairs and away in our homes or wherever we go, laying hold upon God, that God would come near and bring salvation to sinners. We can't do it, but God can do it. Could you get a hold of this tonight? If this is the last year on planet Earth for you, I'd like to ask you, if you respond, heaven. If there's no fruit, it says here, cut it down. It's only wasting space that somebody else can use. I want to make the application tonight. There are people from the Orient, for example, that never heard the gospel the way you have. They never handled the Bible the way you have read. They know nothing about eternity or God. And they have heard the gospel once. And they have responded, and they're on their way to heaven. You see, friend, it's a very sad thing. On one side, God desires that all men should be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. But you and I are free will agents. We can make a choice. And if we don't want the Lord Jesus, when the day is, the roll is called up yonder, somebody from another world, another culture that hadn't the privilege you had will take your place in heaven. Would you just think that over tonight? This could be the last year for you. There's people that came to our meetings in January 2018. They'll never come again. You know why? Removed for eternity. And as far as we know, they left no testimony behind. And they're in eternity tonight. Passerby. That's what the epitaph said on the headstone of an ancient graveyard. Passerby, stop and think. I'm in eternity. And you're on the brink. This is the year for you, friend. this is your chance. Here's another man. And he only got one observation, one time, to listen to the preacher. A man called Felix. He was a rascal. He's a liberated slave. He lived an immoral life. He wanted to hear the preacher. And as the preacher warmed to his subject on this occasion, it got to him. He spoke of the holiness of God. And the people that lived ungodly lives, no control of any kind, no self-control, and the judgment to come. The man never heard it before. And it says he was affrighted. That's God's dynamite, the gospel of the grace of God. What he said, preacher, you're right. Would you just go your way for this time? When it's convenient to me, I'll be saved. Is there anybody, and that's your line of thought tonight? Passing onward, quickly passing. Tell me, sinner, whither bound? If you put off this golden opportunity, I hope it won't happen, but it could. I've seen it again and again. Put it off to another time. Some more convenient day on thee I call. I don't want it tonight. That's right. Felix heard the gospel after this, but he was never stirred. If the Spirit of God is stirring you, friend, tonight, this is your time. This day, this night, this year, this time. Could I just close on this note, friend? See, when the bottom line of life is drawn, have you ever asked yourself, oh God, where will I be forever? If you respond tonight to the gospel call, heaven. If you refuse the message, hell at last. I'm telling you, God only knows, but there are people that have lived in 2019. They got an invitation to this series. They chose to stay away. They might never be in heaven. We're very concerned about you. But when the last day comes for you, friend, you'll be in heaven. Will you take Christ as Savior tonight? Let me quote you that verse another time. Romans 10:9. It's a favorite verse of mine. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you believe that. Well, the book says, thou shalt be saved. At 8:30 tonight, God help you tonight, right now, to rely on what Christ has done. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank thee for what we have been reminded.